I'm sure we're now prayer warriors. Well, that did sound convincing. But I know God knows what's on your heart, and God loves to hear us pray. I want to share with you what I have been studying in my quiet time. I thought it would be a good thing to share with you, because as we mature in our Christian life and in our lives, we ought to grow. We ought to learn new things. We ought to understand more and more about God, who He is, what He expects of us. As I was coming, I said, let me indulge myself. But I said, no, hold back, because we don't have that much time. And indulging myself, I meant singing, but I'm going to be self-controlled in this. But before we go ahead, let's just go to God in prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, you know who we are. You know that we are 1 in 6 billion people that walk the face of the earth. We know you created all things. You know, before we ask of anything, you know what's on our hearts. You know our anxieties, our anxious thoughts, our fears. But God, you are sovereign. You know all things. You are powerful, authority. You're majestic. And it is a privilege to come before you. And pray, Lord, that you be with us today as we look into your scriptures, as we share what we're learning. And I pray that whatever we share would bring glory to your name. Thank you. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray all these things. Amen. I'll try and make this interactive, almost like a Bible discussion, but I would require, I would require some response from you. I always think I'm still young. I tend to forget my glasses. But I've got my glasses, so I can see clearly now. You know that song? I say, I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. That tells you that I'm old. Let's go our Bible to Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. See, the Israelites, when they were in Egypt, they were suffering. They were treated badly. And they were crying out, because the pain and the torture they were facing was intense. The Egyptians made life much difficult for them. And God heard their cry for help. And then he sent Moses. First revealed himself in the burning bush and said, go and bring my people from slavery. And then Moses reluctantly went along. And then he performed a few miracles in the presence of Pharaoh. And then the plagues came. The Israelites were separate. They were living in the land of Goshen. And God made a distinction between the Israelites and the Egyptians. God made himself known. He showed his power. He shows his awesomeness, so that the Egyptians will see that there is a God. And the Israelites too will realize that, wow, God has come to rescue us. And then Pharaoh finally gave in. And then the Israelites were allowed to leave Egypt. As they were going away from Egypt, they got to the Red Sea. And the Egyptian army, Pharaoh changed his mind, and the Egyptian army were coming in their full force and their full regalia, chariots and horses, and the soldiers coming. And right in front of the Israelites was the Red Sea. And I'm sure panic. The Israelites panicked, and they said, wow, what are we going to do? And then Moses called on God and God said, just strike the water. And he did, and this amazing miracle that happened, beyond, literally, out of this world. The Red Sea started to part. And can you imagine being in that environment? something that you have never witnessed before. It's given us what would have happened in Egypt, seeing water separated, the sea, and they could walk on dry ground. Amazing. Put yourself in that situation. The water roaring and creating walls on both sides. The power of God. God that they probably just heard. They've seen things happen. But right now, right there, they could see it happening in their eyes. In their presence. And then, in Exodus 20, 15, starting from verse 22, let's read. It says, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. They had traveled for 3 days. After such a powerful miracle that happened, they would have been saying, can you imagine, they probably would have been singing. And I know Moses sang. And the Israelites probably were amazed. And wow, we have been rescued. We could have been killed, but we have been rescued. And now they've gone out of that situation into a new situation. They were walking in the desert for 3 days and did not find water. I want to ask you this question. Does God not know where water was? 3 days. Why did God do 3 days? Why not 1 day? To make them more fired up. So that they will like him more. So that they will praise him even more. God is a different God. He doesn't think like us. For 3 days, no water. I remember when I didn't have water for 2 hours. And I know how I felt. I was quite young. I was slightly younger than you guys here. You good-looking teenagers here. Except Christian. Christian is much older. Come on, Christian. You're the man. But I was younger. My brother Iggy, when we were in primary school, we were growing up, and what we used to do, we have pocket money during the weekdays, and we'll save our pocket money. So a weekend, Saturday, we'll go to a department store. It was called UTC at the time, in a place called Apapa in Lagos. I don't know if you guys know. So we would go there, and they had a cafe. And so we'll sit down, we'll look nice, we'll order ourselves donuts and tea. And so we'll finish drinking and then look fine, feel the atmosphere, then we'll walk back home. Miles away. So this time now, Iggy now they said, there is an amusement park. So let's not do UTC this time. Let's go to the amusement park. And it is free. All you need to do is pay in, and you, all the activities, all the rides, free. So we paid our money. That was the last money. What we had in our pocket, that was what we paid for the entrance fee. And so we didn't have any money because we thought it was going to be free. Guess what? When we got into the ride, they started asking us for money for the rides. Because we were already in there, we had no choice but to spend the money. So guess what? There was no money. And we're starving. There was no water. We had to walk back home. It was such a distance. And throughout our journey, I was really stinked up with this, my brother here. I almost faint. That is the closest I was close to death, because I was hungry and I was thirsty. So can you imagine the Israelites for 3 days? Well, you know what? I think God thought by now they should know. They should know that He is powerful.
They should know that there is nothing impossible that he cannot do.
But when you know that there is a being that is all that powerful, and there is nothing that he cannot do, what do you do then? I throw it out to you. What do you do? You know there is a powerful being. He can provide whatever. He has performed all the miracles that can be performed. He has parted the Red Sea. And now you are thirsty. What do you do? Someone raise their hand there. You pray. That's a good point. You pray. Anybody else? Yes? You find out more. You ask. You say, Lord, thank you so much for bringing us out of Egypt. Could you help us? We're hungry or we're thirsty. You know, but they did not. But he said they grumbled. They did not grumble to God, but they grumbled to Moses. They said, oh, what's all this? They traveled in the desert for 3 days and they grumbled. But the fact is, God is there. They could have asked God for help. What stops people? What stops us from asking for help? Pride. Ah! Don't need to ask. There is a song. There's a musician in Africa that we use. He's dead now. I'm sure you guys know him. His name was Fela. There's a song that says, suffering and smiling. That means you're suffering and you're smiling. You don't want to really go to the people that you can help, ask for help. Because of pride, you hold back from asking. What else? Beg your pardon? They don't want to bother. But they're suffering. See, yes. Self-reliance. They say, man, we don't need any help. We don't need any help. They start to moan and grumble. They were also faithless. Despite the fact of the miracles that God has performed, they were faithless. They did not really believe that God can solve this issue, solve this problem. And also, I believe sin also is involved here. When you are in sin, you can't ask God for anything. When you are in sin, it is very difficult to have the courage to ask God for anything. Because you know the truth, you know. But I also think ignorance is also has a part to play in this. They really do not know God. They really do not understand who God is. What they see, they saw the miracles, but they really don't understand. That's why I believe miracles alone is not enough. You've got to know who God is. You've got to study your scriptures, find out who God really is. You see, that is what the issue was. Instead of seeking God's help with humility, after seeing what he has done in Egypt, after what he has done passing the Red Sea, that wasn't enough. They grumbled. And it goes and says, for 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. Isn't that amazing? They're looking, traveling for 3 days, and suddenly they found water. And they say, oh yeah, wow, we found water. And someone went and tasted the water and it was bitter. Oh my word. What sort of God is this? We found water and we thought he has answered, we thought he has given us this. What sort of God is this? But you see, the truth is, God was testing them. God was testing to see where their heart really is at. They said, they started to grumble. They started to grumble against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? What are we to drink? Now, shifting their eyes away from God, who's invisible, who's powerful,
They're now putting the blame on Moses, an ordinary man. So when you take your minds off God, man becomes the issue. You do not see things from a spiritual point of view anymore. Man becomes the issue. Poor Moses. A man who is just following God's instruction. A man who quietly ran away when he killed an Egyptian. He went and hide somewhere out of Egypt. The blame now is on Moses. They started to grumble. What causes grumble amongst us? Grumbling. Someone said something? Lack of gratitude. I said, when you're not grateful, you grumble. And the typical thing that we understand in this society, which is, the transport stuff. Goodness. British Rail, always late. I mean, the London transport, this bus drivers. My, look, I've been standing here for 20 minutes. I tell you, 20 minutes is nothing. If you stand for 3 hours, that's when you know there's something. When we were in Nigeria, my wife and I, after our meeting in the evenings, we go and wait for the bus to Agege. We have to pray. We have to pray for God to just put the bus right in front of us, so that my wife don't have to struggle with me and the rest of the people to get into the bus. I tell you, that is challenging. My wife is very British. And I know that's my background. So I know how to fight my way. So I'll say, "Hon, can you stand by me?" When we're leaving the meeting, we pray, "Lord, please." So in Nigeria, we always pray for everything. When we get to our flat, let's have electricity. So you're dependent on God in that respect. So, but when you're not grateful, you grumble. They grumble against Moses. They ask him, "What are we to drink?" See, they felt it was their right. And Moses provided water for them. It was a right. It's my right. You've got to meet my needs. You've got to help me here. I'm unhappy with you. We're upset with you. Give us water to drink. What are you doing? We were enjoying our stay in Egypt, my friend. You just took us out of our comfort. And that is the underlining statement I see when they said, "What are we to drink, Moses?" We were fine in Egypt until you came along. We didn't ask you to come and take us out of there. It is so easy for such attitude to creep into our lives that we expect God to answer everything. We're not prepared to face any challenges. We expect whatever we ask God, He should provide. And when He doesn't provide, we grumble. We're unhappy. I have done it, and I'm sure you have done it. We say, "Lord, I need a job." And then you went to an interview, and they said, "No, we don't have you. We don't need you." And you went to go to the second interview, and they said, "Sorry, you're not right for a job." And he said, "Lord, did I pray? Did you say if we pray, ask for anything you give to me? So what's this now? I attend Bible discussion. I pray. I do Kingdom Kids. I go to all the marriage meeting. I do all the teens job. I go to teens meeting. I did all this. Hey, so give me a job." See, God is not like that. That is ignorance. That is pride. They grumble. They felt it was their right. We didn't ask to be rescued. We didn't ask to be rescued. We were just walking down the road the other day, and then Philip Atama met me and said, "Come to church."
And that's why I'm here. I was happy where I was before. Then, I had all the boyfriends that I need. All my friends were great people. We used to do this, we used to go to parties here, we used to have fun, we used to smoke with them. Now, Christianity is boring. Christianity is boring. And we start to look back. It's not happening for me. Christianity is not happening for me. Especially, don't you feel funny when you meet people on the street and they say, hey, I want to invite you to church. And you say, oh, so thank you very much. It's not for me. Yeah. Oh, thank you very much. And when you are talking about God, it's like you act, they act like you have a disease. That you have leprosy. And they look down on you. And then sometimes we freak out. Say, oh, this church thing. They say we should evangelize. What kind of life is this? My goodness. If my friends see me now, what would they think of me? Oh, my goodness. Tell that disciple, I'm not coming. See, that's what happens when there is lack of gratitude. When there is no appreciation of what God is doing. How God is molding you. Wanting you to see why he's called you, separated us from the world. You are no longer your own. You are of God. You see, the truth is we have no choice. See, if God is on you, you have no choice. You know that saying, many are called, few are chosen? Yeah, God has called you. You have no choice but to obey. Let me have a drink. Get my bearings right. Is that Carrie laughing there? We have no choice in the matter. But you see, who called out to God? It was Moses. Moses saw the things. He cried out to the Lord, Lord, help! And the Lord, then Moses cried out to the Lord, he says, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Moses had to cry out. See, God answers prayers. See, Moses knew that these people are too much. Who else can help me in this situation? It's God who can help me. Did Moses experience the same thing that these people experienced? He did. He experienced it. But because he had that relationship with God, he says, man, who do I call? It's God I call. I cannot say, oh, let's go and search there. Come, let's go and search there. Oh, come, let's, okay, you, 20 men, you walk down there. 30 men, you walk down there. And start to use his own ideas. But what he did was to call out to the Lord. And the Lord heard him. And the water became sweet. And the Israelites drank. You see, Moses was able to call on God because, one, he was humble. He was appreciative. And that's why he called. You know what the scripture says? The Bible said about Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth during that time. He was a humble person. He had a relationship with God where he could ask God questions because he was sincere. Had a relationship, and God saw that. You see, it's not difficult. It's not bad to say to God, I'm just saying this to say this in express. It's not wrong to say, God, Lord, there is no water. Is there something that we have done? Because it's obvious, three, just as rescued us from the water, from Egypt, and from the Red Sea, and now things are getting tight and difficult. We don't have water for 3 days. Is it not proper to say, this is not normal? This is a spiritual battle here. I've got to find out, inquire of the Lord, what is happening. Gracious Father, please reveal to me why this is so that I can understand better. Is that not a sincere prayer? That is what God desires. Did Job not ask God, why? Why this? Didn't he? Did Elijah not say, this woman is going to kill me. Lord, help. That's Jezreel or Jezebel. Yeah? It is sincere. God was sincere. We're human. The truth is, we are flesh and we're confined to this body. We cannot see what is next door. We cannot see what is beyond. We're confined to this body. And it's true. We are bombarded on all sides. Things that we do not see. And only God sees it. So it is proper and respectful and humble to ask God to show us the way. Amen? We are not in control of most of the issues that we face in life. And because we are vulnerable to attacks. And as a result, who do we go to? We go to the one who can defend us. In Ephesians 6, it tells us about the bombardment that we face. You don't have to turn there, I'm sure you're very familiar with the scripture. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. Then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of truth of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Do you recognize the flaming arrows of the evil one? That is what a spiritual mind does. A spiritual mind thinks about a situation and says, what is happening here? This is not normal. I tell you, my friend, I have faced arrows. And I'm sure most of you have faced arrows. I faced arrows even up to today. Sometimes when people don't pay their rent and you need the money to pay some other thing and it's not coming, that is a flaming arrow. When you need money now and you know you have to pay the other bill and you say, this money has to come today or else I will not pay that bill, and if I do not pay that bill I'm going to be in trouble, that is a flaming arrow. Can you relate?
Yes.
And so you've got to now go to God and say, Lord, man can't help me. Only you can help me. You see, the Israelites did not. They have seen God perform these things, this incredible feat, and yet were grumbling towards Moses. They forgot. But this is God testing to see their response. So then Moses cried out to the Lord. So there the Lord made a decree and a law for them. And then he tested them. He said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you.
See, God felt like these people do not understand.
These people do not understand. But Moses understood. I want to ask you, do you doubt God's sovereignty? Do you know what I mean by that? Do you doubt God's sovereignty? Do you believe that God is in charge? Do you? Because if you don't believe, then you'll be faithless. Do you believe that God has the authority over all things? Because Jesus Christ says God has given him authority over everything. Do you believe? Did Jesus Christ not say, if you ask for anything in my name? Do you believe? What did Jesus Christ say? In what did the Hebrews 5 say? He says, during the days of Jesus Christ's life here on earth, he offered up prayers with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. He said he was ahead because of his reverent submission. Though he was a son, he learned what it means. He learned obedience through what he suffered. And so, suffering is part of the package. So that we'll learn obedience. Obedience to hold on to God's truth. Because God is the only, if you know God is the only way, the only person, the only being that can save you, why ought you not go to Him? Why not you humble yourself before Him? Why not pray? Even if it takes you 2 hours to pray, like the Samaritan woman who humbled herself and says, hey, there's no one else who can help me here. Let me go to Jesus there and ask him for help. And she went to Jesus, and Jesus Christ said, oh, sorry, not time for you. It's time for just for the Israelites. But you, for me, or you, or whatever, pride will come in, and we will say, hey, keep your miracle, or whatever, I'm going. Although we're suffering there, the child is suffering there. But that is how Jesus Christ was. What is difficult for us to be like Jesus? To pray, to ask God for help, even though when things are difficult. Because God is faithful in His promises, isn't He? God promises and He keeps it. He might not keep it at the time that you want. Just like we're talking about the women want you to do it right now. There. Take out the rubbish right there, now. Clean your room to the kids, my daughters, right there. And my other teens, they just take their time. They put the iPod on Facebook, on Twitter. And when mommy says to the kids, hey, can you tidy your room, please? Ah, it's my room now. I mean, what's this? I mean, but we've got to do it God's way. Amen. Do not doubt God's sovereignty. You know, one thing that the Israelites, they forgot the miracles. But we have positive things that we've experienced as Christians. Don't we? What have you experienced? I want to know, see a show of hands. You share with us. What are the positive things you've experienced as a Christian that just blows your mind and encourages you? Because the world says, Christianity is for wimps. It's boring. You tell me today, tell us today, what are the positive things that you have experienced as a Christian that you want to share for everyone to hear what God has done? I want to see, I want you to think about it, I want you to see a show of hands. What are the things you have experienced as a Christian that when you think about it, you say, man, it was definitely God. It was God. I can't forget that. I cannot forget that miracle. I need to go to the God. I need to go back to God. Phil. That's right. That's right. Yes. Helen. Healing. You see, yes. Come on. Elikum, becoming a Christian. That is awesome. That is seeing someone transform from what they were before and becoming a new creation. That is a positive thing. helping your sister becoming a Christian, see her change, transformed. Yes, Claire. Yes. Yes. Wow. Yes. That's right. God did it. Hey, Franklin. Yeah. I'm sure she's changed all that. Every girl. Yes. Okay. Amen. I've got two, so I'll wait for all of you to share your one. Sorry? God's grace. God's grace. Karen. I tell Rosa.
But if even in our own children as well, seeing how God is just been amazing.
Yeah.
And even in certain situations, you think, wow, they've grown, they've changed, they've saved, whatever the situation we see in our own kids.
Amen, amen. Okay, Philip, then I have to share mine.
seeing how food can work, not just around the parts of abroad.
Yes.
Some of that, my own family, in the church in Nigeria.
Yeah.
And just so that they have faith and can go as far as they want to go.
Yes. Amen, amen. One more person. Who's? Okay. That's the evangelist's wife. I better ask her.
I don't think I went into it where God said clearly no to the situation, and I was upset. I think my mother-in-law was a comment to see with us when we had camera. God said no to her, please, and I was very upset.
Yes. Yes.
And then my mother decided to come.
Yes.
She said she would come.
Yes. Yes. Wow. Amen. Yes. Wow. Amen. Amen. You know, I remember when we used to meet at Battersea. I know there's a brother in the South, Sam Kanu's son, when he had meningitis. And we had to pray. We had to beg God, Lord, please. Keep this man safe. Keep this young man safe. Heal him. Please keep him safe. We prayed. The church prayed. And we got news that he was out. He was getting better. And that just blew my mind. I said, thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. And there's so many that God has done. I mean, my wife, I've repeated this so many times, what God has done. There was one time, I've shared this before with you. When I was, I'll never forget it, when I was a church administrator, and I was in charge of the finance, and I had petty cash, and it was on a Friday, I didn't have any money. I was broke. And I had my wife, and my little daughter, then it was just Nadine. No, Nadine and Louise, yes. And I thought, how am I going to see the weekend through? And I promised my friends I was driving all the way to come and see them. And I wasn't going to go empty-handed. I was going to buy a drink, like the man who's okay, buy a drink and then drop some money. And I said, wow. And the temptation was to do, I owe you. I owe you, I put it in the... Now when I get paid, I will pay it back. But I thought to myself, if I wasn't a church administrator, I wouldn't be in that position to do so. So God, I'm going to just go by faith here. So I went, I don't know if I told my wife, I went and I said, okay, I don't know what's going to happen. So I went to bed. And then we're thinking of coming back to England. And I told people I was selling my stuff. I went to bed, and before I even got up from my sleep, someone had knocked on my door, someone in my ministry at that time. She had brought such a big wad of money to put down for my bed and a few other things. I had cash coming through my ears. I cried. Even before I woke up, God has answered my prayer. Because I said, no, I don't know, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Take care of me. And that's how God, I want us to encourage one another with these things. The things God is doing, because we need this sort of encouragement. There will be tests. There will be tests. So we have all this positive experience. And we must learn from this so that we don't keep going back, doubting, grumbling. Each time, whatever circumstances we find ourselves, we grumble unless our prayers are answered. It cannot, our Christianity cannot be that way. It cannot be that way. So God made a decree. He wanted to make himself known to these guys. So if you obey me, you will live. If you disobey me, I will discipline you. You are no longer your own. You are now mine. I have purchased you with the blood of the Lamb. I have brought you over. I have rescued you from slavery. You are mine. You are mine. I demand obedience. If you obey, you're not like the rest of the people. Those people, they can do whatever, and they will not get this, but they cannot enter my rest. But you, in order for you to enter my rest, you will obey. There will be discipline. You will obey. I demand obedience. Okay? I demand obedience. Do you understand? You have no choice unless you choose another path. Then God said this. Then guess what happened? He says, then they came. Listen to this. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees. Oasis. Palm trees like paradise. 12 springs. Water flowing there, flowing there. They had so much water. It's just incredible. God says, this you do not know me, but this is me. Okay? If you water 3 days, I kept that away from you. I wanted to test you. You understand? This is me. Here is water now. 12 springs. You drink as much as you like. Climb the trees if you like. There's so much. So much. You know what? God knows where the water is. He knows where the jobs are. He knows where the food is. Your career, he knows what's best for you. He is sovereign. He is in control. He is in charge. Do you get overwhelmed by your problems? That's faithless. Faithless. Faithlessness does not please God. The Israelites in that generation did not learn. They continued grumbling. They faced another situation. Ah, no meat to feed. I don't want to go there. No meat to eat. Ah, we ate so much meat in Egypt, in our pot. When we wake up in the morning, there's food, meat always full in our pot. They grumbled, even after they have seen this. There was a time there was no water again. They grumbled again. So they kept on grumbling. And guess what? God kept moving them from post to post, from post to post, from post to post, from post to post, until that generation died. You think God didn't know how to get to Canaan, to the promised land? Because they kept grumbling, unhappy, unappreciative, ungrateful. They kept moving from here to there, never finding land. The only people who found, who went to the promised land, Caleb, Joshua, and the new generation. See, God disciplines, but at the end of the day, if you are not faithful, we will not make it. So we have to encourage one another. We've got to trust. We do not doubt. We cannot doubt. We've got to believe. We've got to believe that God is able to do, and we've got to obey. No faith, Fear creeps in. If you have no faith and you're faced with troubles, you become fearful. And when fear creeps in, life becomes unbearable. Oh, you think. You worry. I've experienced it. I know that. That's what I'm saying. You worry. And that's why Jesus Christ says, who by worrying can add a single day to his life? You can't do nothing. You haven't got the power to change anything. So why worry? You haven't got the power to tell that man, sit down, and he will sit down. You have no power. But God has the power to change the spirit of that man, so that when you say, come, he will jump. That's who God is. Didn't you know that the Bible says God is the spirit, is the God of the spirits of all mankind? Of all mankind. God knows the spirit that is in every single one of you. That's why Paul says, what we depend on, the weapons we fight with, are weapons that are powerful to destroy strongholds. We don't use the same weapons like the world uses. It's the weapons, the spiritual battle. It's all through our knees. If you're unhappy, pray. If you're troubled, pray. Pray without ceasing. James 1. Let's use this final scripture. James 1. This is what it says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So if you go to God in prayer, you must believe. You must not doubt. Because if you doubt, you don't believe. That's it. You don't believe. And God doesn't want us to doubt. He wants us to believe. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you with these words. Let's go to God in prayer. Let's hold on to God's promises. Let's not doubt. Let's not grumble like the Israelites. And as a result, they were not able to see the promised land. May God give us the faith, the humility that we need to approach Him, and the sincerity to approach Him with thanksgiving and with love. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If we could say a big thank you to our brother for allowing God's Spirit to use him this morning. Thank you, Eugene. Amen. If we stand, we'll finish our service with song 410. We'll stand.